be decided until after
the
election.
No, absolutely not. Well, something else that has been in the news, unfortunately, as we've had a couple of high-profile cases of RCMP officers off-duty getting involved in accidents. Popular school liaison officer is the latest BC cop to face drunk driving charges. Now, I stand corrected. In this case, it was not an RCMP officer. It was a new Westminster police constable,
right.
Tommy Hammer. She is also a school liaison, a well-liked school liaison officer in New Westminster Secondary School. She crashed an unmarked police car into a highway sign and flunked two breathalyzer tests. This was back in North Vancouver on October 16th. She was released with a promise to appear in a North Vancouver court on December 17th. Also, the RCMP officer who was involved in the fatal collision in Delta last Saturday, which killed motorcyclist Orion Hutchison, he was also released on a promise to appear. So there's been a lot of discussion whether, you know, these policemen are getting, and women are getting, preferential treatment as being released on promises to appear. And as you brought up before, how did they get home? Who aided them?
You know,
a lot of them have desk jobs. So it's been a lot of controversy about that. So we wanted to find out exactly what entails a promise to appear, and if a civilian is also getting promises to appear as well. We have Rishi Gill joining us on the line, who is a defense attorney. Rishi, thanks for joining us this morning, by the way.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Sean.
Hi.
How are you doing? So explain what a promise to appear actually is.
Well, promise to appear is it's a provision in our criminal code in Canada where a peace officer generally has the power to release certain individuals on certain classes of offenses, just by way of a document that's called a promise to appear. It's usually done when the charges are less serious or they're just run-of-the-mill, if I can put it that way, type of offenses. And I should add, there's two sort of individuals you're talking about today, and I think that it should be made pretty clear that the officer who is the woman officer from New Westminster who was found or accused of being impaired while driving, that's a pretty typical case where the promise to appear would be issued. And I don't think anybody in the defense bar or any criminal lawyer in general would disagree with that being the appropriate measure, or the more common type of release.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that should be, quite frankly, without controversy.
Okay, Rishi, just let me ask you a question, though, before you get into your second point.
Sure.
Obviously, we're all curious to know if it was just me or if it was Mark or if it was you that was driving and you were impaired and you hit a pole or whatever. Would the police officer who found us or charged us or whatever, would they just send us on home without taking us to jail?
What they usually do, and I don't know the specific facts of that particular officer's case, but what usually would happen would be that you're driving along and an officer suspects that one's impaired while they're driving or they're doing something that looks suspicious.
Right.
They're pulled over, they're checked out, and if there's appropriate grounds, the officer then has them do what's called a roadside testing device to see whether they should go to the next step. Now, at that point, if they are looked at as being probably drunk and there's grounds, they'll usually take them to the police station and have them blow into a breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get the results, and they will be usually released from the police station. They'll usually then say, okay, well, we've got this, and you're suspended for at least 24 hours. Go home.
Right.
So that's, as I say, that's not very uncommon. I think that's what would happen to anybody.
Right. What happened to the old days where they just used to throw them in the drunk tank?
Well, I mean, excuse me, you have to be really out of your gourd, to be frank, if I can use that expression, for them to, not just send you home.
Right.
And I have no idea, how impaired, if at all, that officer was in, I think it was North Vancouver, was it North Shore that she was?
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know. And people can drink quite a lot before they're just so legless. Some people can blow double the legal limit and they still appear to be fine. As long as, they're not so a danger to themselves or to the public, they're going to be released, and they should be.
Hmm. All right, so in your mind, what happened with this female police officer in North Vancouver was probably pretty typical of what would happen to you or me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. But the other case, obviously, much more serious.
Excuse me. Well, the other case is interesting. I was talking to another reporter about this, and my comment generally is this. As a member of the defense bar, as a criminal lawyer, I don't think that it was inappropriate to release that guy. Okay, I think that actually that's what I would have been arguing for, and I would have said that. My problem, and I think the problem with most criminal lawyers that I've talked to, almost unanimously, is that it's hypocrisy on the part of the police, because when we try to get our clients released on PTAs for relatively serious crimes, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very difficult. And I'm not, again, I'm not saying that what happened was inappropriate, per se. What I'm saying is that it's absolutely surprising to me that that in that case, given those circumstances, if it was you or I or Mark, that we would not be held at least overnight. And I'm sure a judge would probably release us the next day. Now, there's an interesting parallel between a case in Richmond, strangely enough, it's quite some time ago, I think at least 3-4 years ago, where a Richmond RCMP officer was killed by a gentleman street racing.
Right.
You remember that case?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, he was detained, and he was detained for about 4 months. Now, he also left the scene of the accident.
Mm-hmm.
In the present case that we're talking about, the officer himself, and just recently, my understanding, I don't know anything about the case as far as the facts other than what's been reported, but what's been reported was that he left the scene carrying allegedly 2 children, and he apparently, again, allegedly, lived nearby, and he might have just been taking the children home, but he left his license. So one can argue that he wasn't necessarily fleeing the scene per se, but certainly you're required to attend at the scene of the accident. And in the case that I was mentioning earlier, just in Richmond, that gentleman fled the scene. The officer died, unfortunately. It was very tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But that individual was then arrested the next day, then held in custody, denied bail by a judge, and then had to go to the Supreme Court for bail review, in which case he was released.
Right. That was the Jimmy Ng case, right?
That's correct.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm not going to draw an exact parallel between the two cases. I'm simply going to say that I think it's quite apparent that where an individual has died as a result of an alleged impaired driving, and an individual has fled the scene, whether they left the license there or not, that individual, at the very least, have been held by the police and kept overnight, and most probably released. You know, I think that it should be released.
Yeah, and I think this is what a lot of people are a little bit upset about, Rishi. I mean, to use this term, which I hate, but the optics don't look good. You know,
well, it's
case.
A very bad, you know, you're right, Mark, it's extremely bad optics, and it's hypocrisy. I mean, it sort of gets me a bit upset, because I don't have any problem, again, with the release per se, and I wouldn't have had any problem if you would have released them at the scene generally, or released, you know, how they did it. It's just that I can tell you, just even recently, last week, I was dealing with one of my clients who has a criminal record. You know, he's not sort of a choir boy, but he was not under any kind of bail or probation at the time he was arrested. He was found as a passenger in a stolen vehicle. The car was found out to be stolen. There was no obvious signs it was stolen. The key ignition wasn't punched out, so, you know, it could have been very plausible that he didn't know it was stolen. All the passengers were arrested. He was a passenger in the car. I phoned the police, and I said, well, look, has he admitted to anything? And they said no. And I said, well, you know, you don't really have a case here. I don't think you're going to prove anything. He's got a 10-year-old daughter at home that's waiting for him. Could you please just release him on a PTA?
Right.
And no. Well, see him in the morning. So
yeah.
The next day, the Crown obviously just released him. I mean, that was no problem. And it's those types of things that I think upset us as lawyers, not because the release itself has been done, but it's because it does seem to be that in certain circumstances, officers may release particular individuals. And in other circumstances, they won't. We'd like to know why, probably.
Yeah. We're talking to defense lawyer Rishi Gill, who is a former Crown prosecutor, about apparent preferential treatment for cops. And, you know, on the surface, people like us, who aren't necessarily on the inside, like you are looking and saying, well, yeah, you know, it's obvious. They're in the same field. Who knows? They might even know each other. You'd sort of expect that this would happen. That doesn't mean it's okay, right?
Well, I think we're all human, right? I mean,
yes.
You know, the same way that, let's say, in your case, you might give preferential treatment to a job applicant that knows you.
Right.
You know, somebody that knows somebody that works in your station. I may be referred an auditing student that comes from somebody I know. I mean, we all do that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And I should also say that I think the police in our province do a very good job. You know,
yeah.
I don't think I have any problem with the police. I think they do an extremely difficult job, and they should be applauded for it. However, again, like I do think that there has been some recent cases. There's the... I think there was a gentleman that was killed up north. I can't remember where it was, but I remember that he was shot at the detachment, and there was a big inquiry. I think one of the, Howard Rubin, who's a very good lawyer in Vancouver, was working on that case for the family of the victim, where the officer was allowed to basically not give a statement without speaking to a lawyer first, and then was interviewed and that's how it should be, but was given, I think it's been alleged, very preferential treatment in how he was investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not at all saying that there's the officers in our province are corrupt or they're bad cops. That's completely, it's the opposite. There's an excellent police service, both RCMP and city police. But this case, as I said, it's as you put it before, the optics are terrible.
And that's so important because these guys are enforcing the law. We've got to respect these people. As sad as it may seem, they've got to be above everything.
Well, that's it exactly, Shannon. That's it exactly. The fact is that it comes down to what's termed, the perception of the public, how they view the administration of justice. Mm-hmm. It's how does the public look at the justice system after that? And perception is very important.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's such a serious incident. I'm not saying that we know if anybody's at fault. I mean, for all we know, with this case of the poor young man in Richmond or a Delta, it may very well be that it was his fault.
Yeah.
You know, it may very well be that he was speeding against the sun. I'm not saying he did. We don't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's facts to come out.
Yeah.
But clearly, at the very least, when it is such a serious incident, when you have the death of an individual involved, when you have allegations of impaired driving, when you have allegations of somebody fleeing the scene, coupled with the fact that, it now becomes a touchier because now it's a police officer involved, one would think that the police might be a bit more careful
mm-hmm.
in how they deal with that matter.
Yeah.
And it's a tragedy for a lot of people, and especially for the family of the victim. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it's also a tragedy for the officer involved, and it certainly could have been dealt with, I think, in a neater fashion.
Yeah, we're not talking about a little party at the West Van Police Department. We're talking about a kid basically who lost his life. That's pretty serious.
Yeah, in this case.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people saw the press conference yesterday with the family, and my wife and I just had a 7-month-old. We just had a recent addition to our family,
mm-hmm.
and one can only imagine how horrible it must feel for that family.
Yeah.
And I think that it's something that we would expect would be dealt with extreme sensitivity. I don't think this assists the police department in their public relations aspect, if you want to put it that way, not to sort of make this trivial. But at the very least, it might have been handled differently.
Yeah.
But again, and I want to emphasize this, I, as a criminal defense lawyer, would say that the person should have been released at the scene, or not the scene, but after giving the breath test. There's
right.
no real grounds to hold him. It's just that I can guarantee you, almost 100%, that in my experience, that person would not have been released
right.
in the way they were.
Okay, well, we trust you, Rishi.
Okay.
You've obviously got the experience.
Yeah, exactly. Rishi, thanks. We appreciate it.
No problem. Take care.
All right, thank
Bye.
You. Rishi Gill is a former Crown prosecutor and also a defense attorney now, talking about the promise to appear and how it pertains in these two cases, one with a new Westminster police officer who was arrested in North Vancouver and charged with impaired driving, and, of course, the RCMP, off-duty RCMP officer was involved in the fatal collision at Delta Saturday, which cost the life of a young motorcyclist.
Mm-hmm.
It all goes down to, again, the perception and that issue of trust, and I think the public's sort of trust in sort of justice being sort of served or